the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Excuse me. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. We are looking in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, we are looking at Lesson 32, The Hidden Life of Jesus Christ. In the picture drawn for us, we see the child Jesus offering to help. It looks like the Blessed Mother carry a jar of water and do, I guess, whatever chores that he could to help her and Saint Joseph. The caption reads, after the finding in the temple, Jesus returned with Mary and Joseph to Nazareth. There he lived with them, doing all he could to help his mother and Saint Joseph in their work. Jesus, God himself, obeyed mortals because he wanted to set us an example. He lived a life of obedience, humility, and poverty in Nazareth till he was about 30 years old. This hidden life teaches us, among other things, the value in the eyes of God of prayer, humility, and obedience. How may the life of Jesus Christ be divided? The life of Jesus Christ may be divided into three parts. His childhood, to the time when he was 12 years old. His hidden life, to the time when he started his teaching. And his public life, to the time of his death. After the murder of the Holy Innocents, the child Jesus lived in Egypt with his mother and Saint Joseph until the death of Herod, then returned with them to the Holy Land. An angel appeared to Joseph and said, arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. Just as Saint Joseph had obeyed without question when told to take the child to Egypt, so now he obeyed, knowing that God, who watches over the birds of the air, would watch over those given into his charge. The Holy Family lived in Nazareth. From there, every year Mary and Joseph went to worship at the Temple of Jerusalem. When Jesus was 12 years old, he went along with his parents to celebrate the Pasch at Jerusalem. Then Mary and Joseph left the city to return to Nazareth, but Jesus remained behind without their knowledge. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. We can only imagine the distress of Mary and Joseph upon having lost Jesus, most precious to them, the child that had been entrusted to their care. And what was their joy when, after 3 days' search, they found him in the temple, in the midst of the wise men there, hearing and questioning them. Mary told how great had been her grief when she said, behold, thy father and I have been seeking thee, sorrowing. But Jesus replied, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus dearly loved Mary and Joseph, but he did not hesitate to cause them pain and part from them in order to obey his heavenly Father's will. In imitation of him, many young people leave home and their dear parents to enter the priesthood or a religious congregation to serve God completely. I think not enough young people today. We need some more. Some non-Catholic interpreters insist that Jesus had brothers, that he was not the only son of Mary. Those spoken of in the Gospels as the brethren of our Lord were his blood relatives. It was the practice among the Jews to call near relatives brethren. So Abraham called his nephew Lot in this manner, let there be no quarrel between me and thee, for we are brethren. As St. John Chrysostom wrote, our Lord on the cross would not have needed to commend his mother to his apostle John if she had had other children. How long did the hidden life of Jesus Christ last? The hidden life of Jesus Christ lasted from his return to Nazareth at the age of 12 until he entered into public life at the age of 30. Of this part of Christ's life, all that we directly read from Holy Scripture are two statements. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. In these two sentences is contained the history of 18 years of the life of Jesus Christ, the God-man. In the temple at the early age of 12, Jesus had proved his wisdom before the doctors of the law. As St. Luke writes, and all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. But did he continue after this unusual and favorable beginning? Did he stay on to preach his doctrine? No, instead, he meekly followed his parents as a young child of that age and went to live with them in obscurity in Nazareth. The actions of Jesus Christ are intended for us as examples and instructions as much as his words. As he said, I have given you an example that as I have done to you, so you also should do. The hidden life of Jesus is for us a perfect model of humility. He lived in poverty and lowliness. The mother he chose was a poor woman. His foster father was a carpenter. The town in which he spent the greatest part of his life was an obscure place despised by the Jews. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? By his hidden life, Jesus Christ teaches us to learn holiness and wisdom before we presume to teach others. He teaches us by living in obscurity to fight against our vanity, which makes us desire to be doing only what seems great and important, which makes us desire to be praised and noticed. By his hidden life, our Lord teaches us to subdue our pride, to live day after day without impatience or complaint, unknown to the world and even despised, if that is the will of God for us. Then we shall have true peace of heart. And so Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For long years of obscurity in Nazareth, he was just a carpenter's son. The hidden life of Jesus Christ is for us a perfect model of obedience. And he was subject to them. The God of all created things, almighty and infinite, was subject to two poor and unknown mortals. He obeyed them in all things, promptly, constantly, cheerfully, and with great love. Let us model our obedience on this perfect pattern. Let us obey our superiors as representatives of God, giving them due respect and prompt obedience. When our parents commend us and we go about doing what they want, but with murmuring and without spirit, is that the obedience that the child Jesus gave in Nazareth? When we have to do some unpleasant or difficult task, let us imitate Jesus in his very words. Yes, Father, for such was thy good pleasure. In this way, our obedience will be like that of Jesus, supernatural. We shall obey human beings for the love of God. We shall really be obeying God himself in the persons of those he has placed over us. By the example of his hidden life, our Lord set the principle for the religious life, particularly for that in contemplative orders. Jesus advanced in wisdom and grace before God and men. Although he possessed all wisdom and grace from the first moment of his mortal life, he manifested them only gradually, and in a way that was in keeping with his years. We can obtain much merit before God without doing any striking actions, by merely being humble and obedient in the place of life in which it has pleased God to put us. If Christ, the Son of God, God himself, was content to be humble, poor, and unknown, to do common tasks day by day for the greater part of his earthly life, is there any reason why we should ever be why we should be ever trying to exalt ourselves, to attract admiration, ever to feed our vanity. That ends the lesson. I guess it does bear a little bit of repeating that the hidden life of Jesus gives us a model, if you will, for the religious life, and that in the religious life we follow Christ most perfectly. We make that our profession, to strive after perfection, to imitate Christ in poverty, chastity, and obedience. And obviously we are away from our parents, but we place our superior that God has placed over us, we place in that superior that trust, that position of authority that our parents would have had over us as children. I think there are many really significant ideas within the religious life that point to the obedience of Christ during this hidden life. The religious are generally given a new name. It is, I guess, like St. Paul speaks, putting off the old man and putting on the new, becoming this new creature in Christ, with this new life, this transformation that is taking place. We are given a new name so that we start again. And we really put off that old man, and we strive to obey Christ and to follow Christ in obedience to the superior that's been placed over us. Many times in conferences we either preach or hear preached that the virtue of obedience as opposed to poverty, chastity, obedience seems to be the most difficult or the hardest one. So with that holy obedience, we give up our own will and we conform ourselves to the will of God. And in conforming ourselves to God's will through holy obedience, we can find a safety in that. Very often when we decide for ourselves what we're going to do, where we're going to go, how we're going to do things, we are subject to pride, to vanity. But when we give our will in holy obedience, we do everything that our superior commands of us. The only exception would be anything that would go against the law of God and our conscience. And so we obey God through our superior in all things. We can never really go wrong in obeying our superior, even though our superior may sin in giving us an unjust command or abusing our vow of obedience. The subject of obedience can never really go wrong in obeying. The responsibility, I guess, lies with the superior who is entrusted by God to guide this soul to please him. But every time that we can sacrifice our own will and do the will of someone else for the love of God, we can gain merit and advance in grace and virtue. We will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.